Ooh, we're holding. Wow, this is loud.
Loud?
Okay. No, now it's good for me. Perfect. Okay. We're holding here, I think, on a Mudchaf Beis, which is in the middle of the description of the Ruchnistike elements in the Bria. So we spoke about Malachim and the Shamas last time, and now we're going to speak about Shadim, Chaf Beis. Oid Minachas on Nivroim Nimtza. There's another group of Nivroim. Show min emtsoi ben gashmi v'ruchni. It's something that is between gashmi v'ruchni. V'hainu sheyesh be k'tzas migvul hageshmi yonav. It possesses some of the physical limitations. U'mesholu miktsasam, and missing some other ones. V'sheim amin azenik shadim. These are called shadim. V'yesh be k'tzas gufnius. They have some physicality. Ach loike gufnius shalonav, but not quite our guf. It has some ruchnius, but not like our ruchnius. It has in itself different madregas. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this point over here. So this is this. The Gemara Chazal tell us that there's something called shadim. Ramban speaks about it, and he basically says the same thing. He just brings the Chazal more, that they have certain items that they're doimit to people, certain items that doimit to malachim. Let's first ask ourselves, what's the point of this? Why do we need to keep cluttering up our ruchnistic museum with all sorts of things, shadim? And a second issue is about there being mazikin. Let's speak about the musig of what's the point of it. The Sforim point out the following phenomena, that between every chalukah in the Bria, you find something that straddles the two. Lamashal, between a tzomeach and a balchai, you'll have plants that can sort of move, catch insects. They speak about whatever it means, avnei asada. Between animal and man, you have something like an ape, which has some tchunas of both. Now, and same thing is true in bacteria, for instance. You find things that straddle the vegetative kingdom with the animal kingdom. Bacteria is a little this, a little this. A virus, we know today, straddles somewhere between inanimate to animate. A virus is something which doesn't do anything unless it attaches itself to something living. And scientists keep finding things like that. The conventional explanation is, you see a raya of evolution, that it has something that has both. You have fish that can walk on the land, a shtickle. You have mammals that live in the water. All of these, you have birds like the ostriches that basically they just walk around and they don't fly. So all of these elements are understood by the world as being a proof of evolution, which is... we see it extremely differently, obviously, and let's understand it the way we see it. Whenever I have a chain of links, every link is attaching two other links. What it needs to have in order to attach two links is a presence in both sides. It's very loud. I hear a lot of noise now. Can you turn? I know something makes noise. I hear a lot of echo and noise. Okay, now it's better. Okay, if you have a lot of if you have a lot of links, then each link has properties of both. We explained one before some point that there are two ways I get from point A to point B. One is direct contact. So LaMarshall, if I have a line of 10 people and I push one, so I push the first one, the first one push the second push the third push the fourth one, and presto, at the end, I have a movement. I have a car. I press down on the gas. My pedal pushes something, something pushes something, something pushes something, something, something. Every piece pushes another thing until I get the final result of the car moving. On the other hand, something like a magnet, that we don't see any contact, gravity, I don't see any contact. I just see that a big planet here attracts a small planet here. I don't see any physical link. A person who is a very powerful, sort of just Arda or Baal Hashpa, he's mashpi on people. It's not like I push the people and one push the second, the third, and the fourth. Or let's say I coerce people in doing, I tell people, we won't accept your kincheda if you don't do X. So fine, that's not hashpa. But there's a way in which I don't see a clear contact, but I see a hashpa. A person who is a very big tzaddik is mashpi on people around him. I just feel a hashpa. Those are two mehalchim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to run the world with. One is called Hishtalshalus, which means step by step, link by link, connection. And then there's something called Hatzola, Hey Aleph Tzadik Lamed Hey, or like Vayetzal Miruchoy, or Atzilus, where I am Mashpia, but I recognize that B is doing something because of A, but no way I can determine the exact link between the two. In most of the items in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to run through Hishtalshalus. And the reason is because Hishtalshalus, A, we understand the Mahalach, that's important for us to understand. I have some insight. Masha'en Kein in Hashpa, it's very hard to see exactly how A brought about B. Also, in Mitzad Sheni, Hishtalshalus allows for a misinterpretation as well. If I see that the sun causes my crops to grow, I can say, hello, the sun is what does it. So in the level, in the type of Ashgacha that goes step by step, which is the majority of the Bria, there's going to be almost an Ein Sof amount of links between the top to the bottom. And that's why it doesn't go HaKadosh Baruch and us. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's Malachi Elyon, there's Srofim Vayfanim, Chayas, different daggers of that. There are Shadim, there's Adam, there's Baal Chai, and everything in between. A lot of steps, and each one allows us to have some insight in it. It's just like somebody who's a great Baal Masbir. What he'll do is he'll take a difficult concept and he'll be able to break it up into composite steps. These are the steps how I got from A to Z. And that's going to be, that allows someone else to understand who's not toifis the whole thing as one unit. So by understanding step by step by step by step, I understand the whole process. So a min between Gashmi and Ruchni is something that is a part and parcel of this system. and it'll be endless probably. It is just like an ape is. We expect to find things in an ape that ape humans. We find in apes also balchaidekatunis, very much so. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a whole series of things in between, so that that when you're linking up the links, there's always things in between. So this is what Shadim are. Now, included in that is a Shai. So now we have a second question: why is it that Shadim are such pain in the necks? Sorry to put it that way. We'd expect them to be kind of mini malachim. We'd expect them to be quasi malachim. Why is it that they are bad, evil? You know, some shadim worse, better, but whatever it is, they're not presented as good. I mean, if the malach of the shadim is called Ashmedaim, Losen Shmad, it can't be terribly good. And they're called Mazikim, and they are Mazikin. So what's the reason for it? I guess on a similar level, we can ask the malachim that came down to the earth are called Nephilim. However, whatever it was, at the end of the day, these are malachim that came down here, and they functioned much, much worse than people. What's the reason for that? At best, at worst, we would think they'd be like people. Why is it? And the answer is that when there's a mismatch between the chelik of kedusha of the person and the chelik of the guf of the person, if they're not appropriately aligned with each other, then it's a churban. It's like an overload. If a guf cannot handle that dagger of kedusha, it becomes destructive. My Rebbe Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to say a shmuz, and he spoke about the guf being the protection of the person. He used to sort of point to the goyim on Yoina, who said that the guf is the protection of the neshama, and he would remark, there's nothing holier than the neshama, but when it doesn't have a guf, it becomes a mazik. Now, it's based on the fact that Shadim were neshamas that the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give them a guf. So he said, a neshama without a guf is a mazik. Let's try. He didn't. Reb Chaim was great at presenting these types of paradoxes. He would love to sort of make these paradoxes. Didn't explain them much, but let's say if I can give you an example. Imagine you have somebody who is very physically capable, strong, and quick, and endurance. Have him sit quietly around the afternoon. He won't. He'll get up and he'll pace the floor and he'll push and he'll pull. He's restless because he has a lot of energy, and if the energy is not going for something constructive, it's destructive. Energy that doesn't have a place to let itself out, and b'meila akum sheshavas is chayev misa, because akum doesn't have menucha, and therefore there's no, the mahalach of menucha is a churban. Everything bad in the bria was caused by people with too much time. So unless the neshama can express its full potential in the guf, the excess of it becomes destructive. Let's give another example, I guess, which is more down to, if a person is in an environment where he feels every element of seichel that he has is needed. L'mashal, I'm sitting in a classroom and I have to study very hard to get a 90 at the test. So I focus and I use my seichel to learn and to study and so on and so forth. Let's say we have a class genius that it takes him, it would, doing half the work anybody else does, he pulls 100. if he doesn't find a place to use his chachma constructively and to push himself, he will become an obnoxious person. Arrogant, dismissive, kol mida ra will manifest kol mida ra. And the reason is, there's an expression, this farm, Zot, about long hair, it's called Yisr Samoyach. It's like, it's ke'ilu, the hair is outgrowth of the moach, and it's extra. And that's a person who's like very arrogant, you know, puts his head back, like kind of makes a tenua to move his head back, kind of toss his hair back. It's destructive. If chachmasai is meruba mi maisav, then you have a churban. A person needs to find maisa for his full range of chachma. And having too much chachma and too little in the olam maisa is not good. Okay, so that's shadim. Next, ein lecha dava boilam atachten bein etzem bein mikra. There is nothing in our world, whether it's a continuously existing being, an oak tree, a pine tree, a rabbit, bein mikra, or an event that happens. There has to be something parallel to it, lemala. V'chein, ein lechadava lemata she'elav mimunim mekata malachim, shemanhigim oisam mechachim b'anyonim mikrim, kvi mashig z'adim baruch hu. U'mashepolim al'yonim begashmim nikra'eyu hashpa. Let's discuss this piece over here. So he says, Everything that exists in this world has a shayrish lamala. Two, everything that happens in this world is happening through malachim and so on. Let's address the first one, and then we'll address the second point. The reason why this is so, that everything lamata as a shorish lamala, is because everything lamata is simply the fleshed out version of the lamala. Meaning as follows. Let's go back to a muscle we gave once. I have an equation, and the equation is, I don't know, 4x squared equals y. Then someone comes to me and says, could you plot this on a graph and show me what it looks like on a graph? I say, okay, we'll plot it on a graph and we'll make a diagram. Someone comes along and says, let me see that happening in reality. A business grows that way or whatever it is, that when you have this happening. And I say, okay, let's walk into this store and see, depending on how many goods he has, that's how many customers he has. And I see it fully in flesh and blood. Everything lamata, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it didn't start, we're very focused on lamata. So we look around us and we say, we have this, we have this, we have this. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm going to give you a little malach, lamala, I'll give you a malach. We look at our malachim and shroshim lamala as ambassadors. We came first, and then we needed somebody to be mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we sent up a little malachal to act as our ambassador. That's kind of the picture we have. The emes is the other way around. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with certain shrashim that he wanted actualized, realized, and in the process of ishtalshalos, as the shrashim take on more and more physical form, they keep becoming more fleshed out. Not different than the way we describe the equation becoming the graph, becoming the physical reality, until we are what we are. So it's impossible for anything to exist in the world that doesn't have a shorish lamala, because everything in the world is simply a fleshed out version of a Sharis Lamala. That's the key to understanding this point here. This is true on two levels. It's true on the Metzias of things, and it's true on hanhaga and hashkacha in this world. I want to, and one of them, they have slightly different entities. Kochavim are more on the first one and malachim on the second one, because both of these are in yanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is the etzem mitzias habria, and beis the hanhag of the bria. One is the Shem Avai, one is the Shem Elokim. One is started at Bracious. In Bracious, the etzem mitzias of things in the world became manifest. And at Yitzias Mitzrayim, the hanhagen ashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu became manifest. Those are two directions which it takes. So we have malachim, and who are the ones that are the they bring out the anhagen ashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have different entities that are the shrushim of the things that exist. Next. Kol ashpos habos mal yoinim letzor tachtoinim oivres derach ha-koychovim. V'nimtzu ha-koychovim ha-mashpiyim ha-yoyse kroyim tachtoinim. V'ulam ha-shpo'osam ein al kefi ma-shinim shach b'milamala. So koychovim are the big mashpiyah, but their ha-shpo'ah, they're simply a framework through which it gets carried out. So l'marshal, imagine that I have direct deposit for my paycheck. So I go to my bank, or nobody goes to bank anymore. Everybody goes to nobody goes to ATMs anymore. Everybody takes out the iPhone at a smartphone. Whatever it is. So to me, the money comes from the bank. I'm going to the bank to. I remember Chavamai when ATM machines came out yet, that's a stroll, I don't know, so 30 years ago, he was reading a bedtime story. The mother was reading a bedtime story to the kids, and she says, once there was a very, very poor man who didn't have any money for Shabbos. And the kids said, so why didn't he go to the wall and take out some money from the wall? The kid understood that the wall is what gives. Koychavim are the mashpiyim that are the junction, like the electric box in the house, where the wiring from the outside comes together with the wiring inside. I want to help understand this a little bit. I want to look simultaneously on the other sheets I gave. If not, I'll read it in the Likutim from Adar B'Morom. So, let's take a look at page Samaches. I don't know if I photocopied Samaches. I think I did. I photocopied, I think, the whole Beruchnium. You have it? Was it part of the pack? What?
Yeah, we have it.
Okay. Afal pi shagalgalim v'koychovim heim dvorim gashmiim. Even though the Galgalim and Koychovim are physical entities, they are real physical beings, and you send up a rocket that lands certainly on the moon and the Mars. Hine betoicha mislabshim pnimis nashashim. Within it, certain shrashim are mislabish. V'chol advarim shetin shorim chazal bi nashem shakrovim. Anything Chazal tells about the sun and other Koychovim, She'enam oindim lefia nirale neinu, that doesn't seem right in what we see. Physically, it's not compatible to what we see. Midaba hakol bezeh pnimis lehem. It's talking about their pnimis. Shebem ikan haga. Umi she'en yedeh darkei chachma, en yoch lehasir chitzoynis advar. If someone doesn't know chachma, only masir chitzoynis. Hanir lefia gashmis. So, he says over here, a yesoid, in understanding a lot of these things. If a person, it is true that some people, and I guess, understood that the physical moon that we see, or the physical Mars that we see, is the one that's Kaveya, whatever it is, and that's not true. We can actually go there. But let's give a mashal to it, and see if we can. On the other hand, when he says that it's a pnimistic ruchnius, so what does that mean? In what way is that the pnimis ruchnius? You tell me that that Mars is indeed a chunk of Arrax. That's fine. So where exactly is the pnimis? So let's give a simple mashal. People. I know people. I like people. I look at the person, and somebody will tell me, you know, I took a body, I x-rayed it, I MRI'd it, I sonogrammed it, I poked it, I pulled it. No neshama came out. All these wonderful things to say about a neshama and a shechina and that. Listen, we ran every test on it. Ain't nothing like it. So, obviously, we say, well, the machine only dealt with the physical part. The ruchnistic part of the person is associated with it. If I kill the person, Chas v'Shalom, I kill his ruchnis also. I mean, his ruchnis goes up to Gan Eden, it doesn't stick around. So having the guf here is vital for the neshama, and more than that, the Chazal tell us that the neshama, the Rebbe Shabbat, is ufya de beria. It's the personality of the person. And Chazal say it's the ma'or panim, she'ena dimim or panav shal adam on Shabbos than the weekdays. So when I see a person with a glow to him, with an aura to him, it's the body, but it's not the body. The reason why this person has such a gevaldike ha'ara is because I could give some physical simanim for it, what they are. But the because is because the person has been moved by something, inspired by something, troubled by something, whatever it is. So I have a certain entity that I have a hard time with. It's physical, and yet it displays ruchnistik in yonim. The ruchnistik has nothing to do with the reason why I have this special ha'ara is because my neshama is very, very inspired and very nisrabe in the schedule when it comes in contact with something chashiv. The physical guf simply displays it. But haba hotalia, the koychavim are emis in the sense that by understanding the koychavim, that if a person is born in this mazel, the other mazel, whatever mazel, he's going to have certain characteristics ingrained in him. Yes, mazisol, im mazisol, but for everything else there is mazel. So it's not because the koychavim have in themselves a koyach in any way. The koychavim are racks and fire. Rather, that since the pnimius of a certain inyan, since sechveis dam is associated with mas, with ma'adam, and it's meram is on a person that's going to be whatever, a shefer domim or a mol. All of these inyanim are associated with the koychavim, even though they are not because of the koychavim. The koychavim serves as a body for it, as a marker for it, as some sort of isyachsis to it, but not something that is a be'etzim, the thing itself. So when we ask ourselves, the Rambam Lamashal holds that Koychavim are a real entity. He holds that Koychavim and have a nefesh, and the Mashmos, the Rambam says it, is a literal nefesh, and that's that. It's something that we can't understand. I mean, but that's not Mashita. But our understanding in this form is they express a certain ruchnius that's coming from somewhere else, and through the motion and movement of the stars, the hanhagas of Hashem Baruch Hu are being expressed. That's why we understand it. So they go, and that's why the object of Avodah Zarah is Kochavim Mazalos. That is the Aleph Avodah Zarah is Kochav Mazalos. it's not totally absurd. It's simply a cutting off the anaf from the shoresh. Okay, one more paragraph. L'chol elu haruchnim nosen ha'adam baruchu rishus lifol batachtonim pu'ulot shalok k'derech ha'tivi kishir yorosam tachtonim tzom yiduim shirum yisachtu l'zeh. So, part of what is possible to do is for a person to use himself to sort of override the switch of anhaga and to use the zuchnit emtsoim shaloi kederach hateva. The one example would be the ability for kishuv to work, where bali kishuv can use all of these entities to bring about hanhaga shaloi kederach hateva in the bria. It's because, and this is part of the nisoyan, part of the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu broke it up into different elements is to allow for alternative understandings. It's to allow for avodah zarah. It's to allow for being fixated on malachim. That's part of the nisoyan of avodah zarah. That's important to provide alternatives that people could possibly believe in. That is what we have here. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them this rishus. It also means, just like in Teva, there's a mahalach that seems to have its own validity, and even to defy Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can harness Teva to do my ruts and so on and so forth. These in Yonim Ruchniyim, since they're not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's possible to harness them and to manipulate them to do what you want, and that's Kishuv. Also, what the Arizal was very, very upset with, the Kabbalah Shimushis, the using Kabbalah on a practical level, where you use Shemus and all sorts of things to create entities and so on. It's very, very, it's something that's extremely popular in the whole counterculture of all the Mekubalim and so on. Lamaisa, it's not appropriate to do so. It's sort of getting involved in Kochos Ruchnim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ashmai Yisrael, Hashem V'atzos of the Adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the medical laboratory to produce medications. That was given to us. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not give us some magical things to arrange magical cures. Tefillah, yes, but not the stuff. Omnom, ein bekoach shum echadim lasis kol ma sheyirtze. Al kol echad yesh gevul ma shehug baloi. Shad oysa gevul baysan roch bulvat shimsulo yuchal lifol olsan apol shemus ha-shiflo. So everything is bound. It's not unlimited. But within the boundaries, they are po'alim. They do. So just like nature is very valid within itself. If I know the laws of nature and I have it down, it nature can work seemingly without recourse to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same is true with these in Yanim. They can work and do their things without necessarily being Messiah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it has a gevul. V'yeshram eilu dvarim utarim lanu udvarim asrim lanu. When you say v'yitzira ma'isik shafim. So when Chazal speak about different inyanim, that they could be boyer negla tilsa, they could make a person possibly, a goylem of sorts, whatever it is, all of these inyanim have in themselves klolim, what's muta, what's asa. I mean, we're very far from these things. The Chazal say they have to study avodah zarah, they have to study different over your own to get a sense of what these kishuvs are. You know, that was a rishus to do that. But al kaponim, these all ruchnistika levels between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, A, those things that have physical gufim, they're only representative, they're only a guf to something, one, that's one important point. Two, they can work independently, but it's only true to some degree, not completely. And the whole realm of kishuf that is usur, and those things that are mutter, Chazal say siman and milsa, Chazal say that certain things we can do. Orume Royce, if I see he was mashbia, Barak was mashbia, Dvor was mashbia, koychavim siloisam. There were certain things done in those eras of the Mekubalim when they felt that it was mutter to manipulate these kochos. All of those were muta, many are asa. What exactly the difference? How do you determine what's muta, what's asa? I would say to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. I'm not sure that Hilchos Kshafim is really, really very, very popular. So I'll go upon him. But just the fact is, there are inyanim that are muta, inyanim that are asa. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions? Yeah. Since they are bruyim that are mazikim in their present form, so the only thing that comes through them really is lanus bnei adam. They're there to provide us with a counterpart of toiv, which is necessary, like Shlomo HaMelech, you know, and so on. But there is no there's no hashpah that comes to us directly. They're there, just like he'll speak later about Sitra Achra, or speak here somewhere about Sitra Achra, which is an important element that needed to find itself in the world to counter Kusha. They are sort of counter to Malachim and to people, but it's not. They don't provide any direct hashpah to us. I mean, you find occasion they could use a shade to do this, a shade to do that, but not something which is be'etzem in the main line of Hashpah, the way Kechavim are.
This is somewhat of a different subject. Somebody showed me this week, the manager said that Yitzchak actually thought of him.
Yeah.
The question is, I mean, Pashtus, that's not the way we understand.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a person. I mean, how does it work as far as the moon is concerned? If a person, obviously, they could be Steve's different Droshin.
Right.
It's a little bit. It sounds a little bit according to Pacho, it sounds a little bit far fetched.
Right.
Which is a matter. How do you deal with the Droshin?
So.
It's a loaded question.
You know what? I mean, it says very clearly. In many, many important works, like the Maral, like the Ramchal, like many others, that the Chazal in Medrash Nagarta spoke in a special lashon. In other words, just like Shira is different than regular narrative, in that it speaks in metaphor. The language of Chazal is a metaphor, but a very, very exact metaphor. Let's take an example for this. When we say somebody dies, we mean his tshukas, his ritzonos, everything physical about the person has ceased to exist. The heartbeat and the feet movements are not what we call the person. What you really want to say is his ritzonis and his sheifas, physical sheifas and ritzonis, died. So the Chazal, the pasuk sukma quite clearly didn't die. Chazal are telling us that mitzadis kavanas and mitzadis whole mohus, he went through an experience that is equivalent to having died. And b'meila, the whole person is the tzur of a person after tchias ha-meisim. Since the tikkun of people is shayach only through Misa, Yitzchak was someone who quote unquote died in the sense that he got everything that needed to be gotten from Misa. That's what it says in Chazal. Chazal spoke in a certain language, and you need to interpret it. The Maral Sefer, this is the heart of his Mahalach, is to understand the metaphor Shabbai, to understand what Chazal were trying to bring out when they used a lashon like that. Let's explain what's not, and let's explain what is. I want to use a story that might have told you, might not. You'll smile and nod if I told it to you, and if not, this will be the first time. The Slonim Rebbe's Chanavach Nesiv Shalom was a big mechanic, amongst other things. He was an extraordinary person. He was a conglomeration of many, many Dvarim Chashuvim. A tremendous Talmud Chacham learning, a very clear, logical thinking person, tremendous sense of beauty, both was extremely beautiful himself, and wrote beautifully, spoke beautifully, a very, very special person. But he was also a very big mechanic. And he once walked by a cheder, the cheder in Slanim, and he heard a Rebbe telling the following story to the kids. And he was very upset. The Rebbe told the story that when the Maggid was Nifta, either the Maggid or the Baal Shem, I think it was the Maggid, when the Maggid was Nifta, the Talmidim convened to decide who would take over. So, being Hasidim, they decided whoever tells over the best story from the Rebbe is going to take over. I guess this was before Kugel Kegel like this. They could have had whoever would give the best Kegel. If it would have been our Rebbein. But in those days, it was the best story. So everybody told a story, and finally, one of the Talmidim told a story, and everybody was Peachot said, he's the person. What was the story? He said that he saw him on a Friday afternoon take his weekday goof and hang it on a hook behind the door and take down a Shabbos goof and put it on. And everybody said, that's the best story, and they made him whatever it was. Now, the Rebbe got very upset. And he said, I don't know if he told the Malamed or he told people, that basically what you've done is you've told the kids a shtus, and you've won Moneah from him from ever understanding an extraordinarily deep Maisa. In other words, when an adult tells you, I want to tell about my Rebbe Friday afternoon took his weekday body and put it in the closet and took out a Shabbos body. That's a very powerful statement. If you understand the way a kid understands it, first of all, the poor kid will be petrified. Every time a door closes, he's going to look to see if anybody's hanging on the other side of it, and poor kid's going to have nightmares. But the kid takes it as a silly story. And if you don't have a chush to be able to hear things with the richness, you understand that saying it in these words give it a power and an impact, and it gives over something that saying over, you know, Shabbos the Rebbe is a lot more halik than the weekdays. Your mamish could see him a lot more halik. It's you said the same thing, but it's a whole different, you know, Velevim dibru b'shir. The Levim spoke shir. That it's a whole different world to say it like that. The Chazal, the richness and the impact of Agadot is that they said it with a language that gives over a power someone else couldn't. I mean, it's like the difference between the Shir Sayam and the description. I could say, everybody say, let's, you know, today, if the CEO of Chazal had to write a report, okay, let's condense it to three lines. We were in Egypt, we got out, and there was a little matter of an ocean to take care of in between. Finished, bottom line. But when you sing it in a shir, you bring out nekudas and dimensions that's impossible in words. So Chazal in general, Chazal and Agadot They spoke in a certain language, and the morale is awesome. As opposed, I want to tell you where to draw a very sharp line between this and the people who are borderline Epicurean. The people who are borderline Epicurean say the following. You know, I also have my light moments. Sometimes on Matzah Shabbos, I sit down and put my feet on the desk, take out a big cigar, drink a l'chaim or two, and I tell tall tales, amusing, with a moral of the story. That's the way, whether they say these or not, Chazal and Agarta were loose. They said nice stories to sort of embellish it, like a shtat magid for the hamayinam, for the dalas ha'am. He tells exaggerated stories, he makes funny points, he says things that are a little off color, all of it for good reason. To get everybody sort of kind of, that is the chelik. Those are the people that are borderline loyal to Chazal. The people, the morale speaks as many times against the people who take it kipshuto mamish, literally, as it does against the people that are loyal. Both of them missed the boat. Chazal and Agarta have a different language. Loshna Agarta l'chud, loshna loch l'chud. In Agarta, they spoke a different language. And you need a key. Sometimes it's a key of Yedias, and sometimes it's an ear to be able to hear what Chazal is saying over here. You need to have...
Yeah.
Certainly not. Certainly, I don't know if you should believe he died, because the Pesukim say didn't die. But if you believe that Chazal was saying something that's not true, or saying something that's silly, or saying something that's exaggerated, then you have a real problem. Like the Chaznish says, we believe the Messiah, it was said with the same seriousness as the Gemara. You certainly should not think he died. That's not what it's not that Chazal is not Kipshuto. But that Chazal is telling you an emes that you wouldn't have gotten just looking at the psukim. That's my chinuch. That's why I was taught these in Yanim. Okay. Sure. Could you, a little closer? I'm not hearing you well. I'm sorry.
The famous Gemara about the
right. The answer is the question about that Gemara, and again, I don't think that it's that one needs to believe. I don't think one should necessarily believe that the sun goes around the earth, but the rayas in Chazal are very minimal. But the problem with that Gemara is that Gemara is probably talking about a halachic aspect. It's not clear. In other words, the question is, what's the context of the Gemara? If the context of the Gemara is halachic, we have a more difficult issue. If the context of the Gemara is Agarata, we have an easier issue with it. Not easier, it's just very different. So I don't know, the Gemara says it sort of in a halachic context, not a Agarata context. You know, the pshuta of the Gemara is that Chachmiso wa Maida. Yes, you could learn, you know, the Rishonim learn pshat differently, but the Rishonim learn pshat that way. So I don't know that part. But Al Kapanim, in those places where it's Agarata, talks about Chaloines and this and that, the other thing, it's real, but it's real in a different sense, not a physical sense. It's real in some other sense that we have to figure out what it means, what exactly are we talking about. The one thing is they were medayik. I'll give you an example. The Maral in the beginning of Gevuras talks about the machlokes of the Shemesh begiven daim. How long was the Shemesh standing still? Someone else says, what kind of machlokes is 36 hours, 24 hours, 12 hours? Like, if you're talking about things that are just vague, then what kind of machlok is it? Stud. He says, no, it's exact. There's a reason why it needs to be 36 out of 24, and not a physical reason, but mitzad the neis. And each mandiyama, and he explains, each mandiyama is coming with an understanding of why his particular mahalach is the teichen of that. What does 12 hours mean? What does 24 hours mean? What does 36 hours mean? All of these in Yanim, in that way, are meant, they're serious. They're said with very clear shikul hadas and specificity, and it's only, but the language is not the language of prose. It's a different language, and we need a feel to be able to open it up. Okay, next week, Yemei Tzeis.